Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Nuremberg Trials A, History from Beginning to End by Hourly History offers a brisk, accessible overview of the landmark post-World War II tribunals that prosecuted leading figures of Nazi Germany. Designed for readers who want the essentials without wading through dense legal tomes, the book traces how the Allied powers move from battlefield victory to courtroom accountability, establishing a precedent for trying individuals for crimes that shocked the world. It explains the political debates behind the trials, the creation of an international court, and the innovative legal categories that emerged, such as crimes against humanity and crimes against peace. The narrative also highlights the moral and practical challenges of conducting fair proceedings amid widespread devastation and intense public anger. By focusing on the major defendants, key prosecutors, and the broader historical setting, the book connects the trials to the development of modern international criminal law and to continuing arguments about justice, responsibility, and the limits of power. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from war's end to a courtroom plan. A central topic is how the Allies decided what to do with the leaders of the defeated Nazi state once fighting stopped. The book frames the trials as the result of competing impulses, a desire for swift punishment, the need to document atrocities, and the political necessity of demonstrating lawful process rather than revenge. It outlines how Britain, the United States, the Soviet Union, and France had to align their priorities despite deep differences in legal tradition and wartime experience. The narrative emphasizes the shift from proposals for summary executions toward the idea of a public tribunal that would present evidence and issue reasoned judgments. This transition mattered because it required agreement on jurisdiction, procedure, and the legitimacy of trying acts that had been committed under a sovereign government. The trials also served an educational function, creating a record for audiences that included survivors, citizens of Germany, and a skeptical international public. By tracing the negotiations and motivations, the book clarifies why Nuremberg became more than a set of trials, and instead a foundational moment in the broader effort to define accountability after mass violence. Secondly, building the legal framework for international justice. Another major theme is the legal architecture created for Nuremberg and why it was controversial yet enduring. The book explains that the tribunal did not simply apply ordinary domestic criminal law. It introduced and operationalized categories that aimed to capture state-enabled atrocities and aggressive war crimes against peace, war crimes, and crimes against humanity. It also addresses the concept of conspiracy or common plan, used to link senior officials to policies carried out across a vast bureaucracy. These innovations raise difficult questions about retroactivity, the fairness of writing rules after the fact, and whether victors could credibly judge the defeated. The book shows how prosecutors attempted to ground the charges in existing international agreements and customs of war, while also arguing that certain acts were so fundamentally criminal that formal codification was not the sole measure of guilt. This legal framing helped shape later institutions and treaties, influencing how subsequent courts approached genocide, command responsibility, and the limits of following orders. By presenting the framework in plain language, the book helps readers grasp why Nuremberg was both a legal experiment and a blueprint for future accountability. Thirdly, the major defendants and what they represented. The book treats the defendants as more than individual villains by showing how they embodied key pillars of the Nazi system. Rather than focusing only on battlefield commanders, the trials targeted political leaders, propagandists, economic administrators, and officials connected to policing and repression. This approach highlighted that modern mass crimes depend on coordination among ministries, party organizations, and industrial capacity. The narrative typically contrasts the defenses offered by different figures' claims of ignorance, assertions that they were merely administrators, arguments that they acted under coercion, and insistence that they were loyal patriots rather than criminals. Through these portraits, the book underscores the broader question of personal responsibility inside authoritarian structures. It also emphasizes that the trial record helped dismantle myths that atrocities were the work of a few rogue actors. By examining how the prosecution connected documents, speeches, and chains of command, the reader sees how accountability was pursued at the leadership level. The defendant roster thus becomes a map of the regime itself, illustrating how ideology, state power, and bureaucratic efficiency combine to enable persecution, plunder, and mass murder. Fourthly, evidence, procedure, and the challenge of fairness. A key topic is how the tribunal functioned day to day and how evidence was presented in a case of unprecedented scale. The book highlights the heavy reliance on captured German records, orders, meeting notes, and official correspondence, which allowed prosecutors to demonstrate intent and policy with the regime's own paperwork. It also addresses the use of witness testimony and the presentation of atrocity documentation to establish the reality of crimes that some audiences were reluctant to believe. The structure of the proceedings, including cross-examination and the role of defense counsel, is often emphasized to show that the tribunal sought legitimacy through recognizable legal safeguards. At the same time, the book does not ignore criticisms, selective prosecution, political tensions among the allies, and the complexity of interpreting responsibility across a sprawling hierarchy. The question of superior orders receives particular attention, as the trials tried to balance the reality of military discipline against the principle that some commands are unlawful on their face. By focusing on procedure and proof, the book helps readers understand why Nuremberg was both a moral reckoning and a careful attempt to create a credible judicial record rather than a purely symbolic condemnation. Lastly, legacy precedent, debate, and modern relevance. The final topic is the long shadow of Nuremberg on international law, historical memory, and political debate. The book connects the trials to the broader post-war effort to define universal standards of human rights and to build institutions capable of confronting mass atrocities. It underscores that Nuremberg established a durable principle individuals, not just states, can be held responsible for international crimes, even when acting under government authority. The narrative also acknowledges ongoing disputes about Victor's justice, the uneven application of international law, and whether the tribunal's innovations were more aspirational than enforceable at the time. Yet it shows how later war crimes tribunals and the evolution of international criminal courts drew on Nuremberg's categories, evidentiary practices, and emphasis on documented proof. Beyond legal influence, the trials contributed to the public understanding of the Holocaust and the criminality of aggressive war, shaping education and remembrance. The book presents Nuremberg as a case study in the tension between law and power, reminding readers that accountability depends on political will, but also on a clear record and principled procedures. This legacy keeps the trials relevant whenever societies confront atrocities and ask how justice can be pursued. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a clear, fast-moving introduction to the Nuremberg trials without needing a background in legal history. Students, general history fans, and anyone trying to understand how modern concepts of war crimes and crimes against humanity took shape will find it useful as a first step before deeper study. The main benefit is perspective. It shows how legal systems respond after catastrophic violence, how responsibility can extend beyond the battlefield to planners and administrators, and why documentation and procedure matter when the goal is lasting credibility rather than temporary revenge. That perspective can sharpen a reader's ability to evaluate current events, propaganda, and debates about accountability in conflicts today. Compared with larger academic works, the value here is efficiency and clarity. The book focuses on the essential timeline, the core legal ideas, and the most consequential participants, making it easier to grasp the big picture quickly. For buyers deciding among similar short histories, it offers a practical entry point that can guide what to read next, while still delivering a coherent narrative of why Nuremberg became a defining moment for international justice. If you would like to support Hourly History, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.